ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभाम् व्यासशंकरमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरुपरंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमतो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ब्रह्म इज नॉट एनीथिंग अदर देन द आत्मा विच मीन्स ब्रह्मन एंड आत्मा आर आइडेंटिकल one and the same. Two different words implying the secondless, only limitless reality. And this reality, Brahman, is available for recognition only in the mind as one's own real self, as the manifest consciousness obtaining in every thought. In every cognition, there is manifestation of consciousness in every thought. So, consciousness available for recognition in every thought is Brahma. That is the Pratibodha Viditam Matam, which means Brahman, the Atma, is not an action, not Atma, something which is involved in an act of knowing, as Bhartrupapancha says. A Brahman, the Atma, is not an attribute which is there always. Attribute of the Atma, and as Vaisheshika says, and Brahman the Atma is not even the momentary consciousness which comes and goes, or which knows itself, and Brahman the Atma is not Brahma Jnanam is not. Something suddenly flashes as an intuitive cognition. And Brahma Jnanam is not even, Brahma is not the just the final knowledge. Which happens when suddenly somebody dies immediately, attains Sadhya Mukti. And Brahman is the Atma, the all-pervasive, innermost, essential reality obtaining in every being, available for recognition in every cognition, and which is to be cognitively distinguished from the thought in every cognition. That means when the conscious, the Brahman as Atma is to be recognized as consciousness, the invariably present consciousness, in every cognition it has been recognized as the invariably present consciousness in all the variable thoughts. Is it clear? This is the Pratibodha Viditam Matam. This is the method of recognizing, knowing Brahman. There is no other way. If anybody says, I can recognize the truth of the universe any other way, there is no way. Because where is Brahman available? What is Brahman available? Where is Brahman available? Everywhere it is there available. But as what? As existence. But can you recognize the Brahman which is available as existence of the universe? Even though you recognize Brahman as the existence of the universe, there moksha is not there. Okay, mechanically I say, Brahman is because Jagat is. Why? Brahman is the existence of the universe. I recognize Brahman as the existence of the universe. In recognizing Brahman as the existence of the universe, that's fine. But what is that which is in the form of the existence of the universe has to be recognized. Only then jnanam becomes complete. So in order to recognize what is that which is in the form of existence of the universe, and you do not know your own, by yourself, the method. And it is, that is why Shastram tells you, a Brahman is, Brahman which is in the form of existence of the universe, already you are experiencing existence, Brahman in the form of existence, but you need not work hard for experiencing Brahman in the form of existence. Effortlessly, already you are experiencing Brahman in the form of existence as you are experiencing your own body mentions complex, or yes, you are experiencing any object in the world. But when you are experiencing Brahman in existence, you are not experiencing Brahman, the existence is pure existence, but you are experiencing the manifest existence. What is manifest existence? The existence obtaining as the existence of the Jagat is manifest existence. The existence without the Jagat is what? Pure existence. And pure existence is non-experienceable, non-recognizable. But manifest existences are experienced. Therefore, you cognitively distinguish the existence from the Jagat. Physically, you cannot remove the Jagat physically and experience the existence as pure existence. Because it is not available for recognition. Pure existence is Brahma. It is non-recognizable. It is non-experienceable. Why? Because it is not an object of knowledge. But you can recognize Brahman as in the form of existence, as the manifest existence, which means when you recognize the Jagat, you are recognizing, you are experiencing the existence, manifestation of existence in the form of the existence of the universe. But even then it is not complete. Why? Because knowing Brahman as an object will not free you from bondage. And our Shastram says, knowing Brahman as existence of the Jagat is fine. But that existence, that which is the existence of the Jagat, is available for recognition as Chaitanyam, consciousness, in the mind. And in which thought? in every piece of cognition, every piece of knowledge, in every thought, in all the variable thoughts, invariably it is available for recognition. But even then, in cognition, what recognizing is, the recognized consciousness is not pure consciousness. Understand, you can never recognize pure consciousness. You recognize consciousness, being invariably present reality, in all the variable thoughts, and intellectually you filter the thoughts and understand that manifest consciousness, invariably present in all the variable manifesting in the media, the thoughts, is nothing but pure consciousness. It is called Brahmajnanam. And the pure consciousness is pure existence. They are not two different things. Chideva Sat, Sadeva Chit. And this manifest consciousness, which you recognize it, you're removing the thoughts cognitively, which you understand as pure consciousness, is what now? The manifest consciousness alone is externally experienced as the manifest existence. Therefore, Pratibodha Viditam Matam, other than this, okay, if anybody says, I know Brahman in any other way, not at all possible. And later on, and once it is very clear, then one has to focus one's attention on this consciousness. And then there is no aham, is also vritti, you know that very well. Like ahankara, you know, the knowledge I am is also what now? Vritti plus manifest consciousness. Without vritti, what is there? Pure consciousness. And pure consciousness is recognizable or not? Non-recognizable. That is why in sleep, you know you are. In sleep, you know you are, but you do not know you are. Why? Because the vritti, aham vritti is not there. The vritti must be there for the consciousness to manifest as knowledge. That is why we say consciousness is called pure knowledge, and the vritti jnanam is called manifest knowledge. The swarupa jnanam, you know, in fact, in Taittiriya Upanishad explained this meaning of the word jnanam. Consciousness is not implied by the term jnanam because jnanati iti jnanam. That which is of the nature of knowing, therefore it is called, reality is called jnanam. Isn't it? Therefore, then there is no aham. You really understand the knowledge I am is the vritti plus consciousness. And here, where is I? When the thought is not there, I is there or not? When the thought is not there, I is there. The knowledge I am is not there, but the I is as pure consciousness. Therefore, I is equal to pure consciousness. Aham is equal to pure consciousness. Aham is the substantive for which consciousness is the substance. And how many our ahams are there? For every aham, substance, many ahams in many minds. But in aham, the substance of the many ahams is what? Only one consciousness. Isn't it? There is no other way of arriving at consciousness. And without having arrived at consciousness, there is no way of dwelling upon it. There is no way of assimilating it or ascertaining it. And then you have not done anything specially. You have already lost your I. Where is I? Gone. Is it clear? this is the Pratibodha Viditam Matam, we have finished. Now, tasmat. Now we'll go to the next slide. Amrutattvam hi vindate. Amrutattvam hi vindate means what now? Mumukshu tasmat amrutattvam vindate. You have to add that. Mumukshu attains immortality by recognizing, by attaining the knowledge of Brahman as one's own swarupam, which obtains, which is available for recognition, obtaining invariably in all the variable thoughts. Okay? Is it clear now? See, that is why you have to remember how beautifully it was taught in that Dhritrishi Veka Samadhi, sixfold Samadhi. Remember that, Rajiv? Antara Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. Antara Samadhi, Bahya Samadhi. In Antara, we were taught, Dhritrishi is a wonderful text actually. Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. Then Shabda Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi, then Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Antara, also Bahya, isn't it? So, Drishya Anuvidda means what? In fact, it is all basis is this text only. Pratibodha Viditam Matam is the basis for that understanding. He says, come on, take the mind, take all the vrittis. In every vritti, isn't it? First see your vrittis. Bring the mind from everywhere, okay? They don't let the mind go anywhere. Bring the mind there. And where do you see? See your thoughts. Focus attention on your thoughts. Anger, desire, hatred, or confusion, some dissatisfaction with what Swami is saying. I have a question to ask her. She stopped me. All these thoughts come like so many thoughts are coming up. And you're watching your thoughts. And now understand, each thought now shines. Each thought is drishyam. And you're very clear. The thought is means thought awareness is. Therefore, every thought shines because of the presence of consciousness. It has to be very clear. A very important thing is, now upekshayans means no doubt there is light. Similarly, thought shines means the awareness is. In the presence of awareness alone, thought shines. Unfortunately, you can't objectify awareness. You just understand awareness is. And you see thoughts and the awareness. This is called now seeing the awareness associated with the thought is called what now? Drishya Anuvidda Samadhi. Savikalpa Samadhi. You see both together. Then shift your attention from the thought to the awareness alone. Lead thought. Now this awareness, this consciousness, what is its nature? That analyzing the nature of consciousness now will help you with the help of the words of the Shastra, will help you arrive at the consciousness being the very meaning of each words. Nityaha, Shuddhaha, Sarvagataha, Ekaha, Asangaha. We have so many words. Isn't it? The nature of consciousness. See, the nature of the reality implied by each word becomes what now? Consciousness being, enjoying the nature of, you know, the nature of consciousness is the meaning of each word. And then you later on analyze the meanings, take the Shastra's words, analyze the meaning of each word, and you understand the nature of consciousness being the meaning of those words. Ekaha. It's true. Ekaha. Nityaha. Isn't it? Nityatvam is the Atma Swarupam, eternity. Because definitely consciousness doesn't begin, end, etc. You analyze, don't mechanically accept it. Yes, consciousness has no beginning, consciousness no end. You understand that. Because you know it, before you wake up, consciousness is there as I. And before you were born, it was there as I. Only thing is, you did not know you were. Isn't it? Before birth, was I there or not? Before the birth of the body, was I there or not? You say very well, I was not there. This is my birthday. How do you know you were not there? Which means your not being around is known to you. Which means you were there before. Understand? Therefore, consciousness is beginningless, endless, doesn't enter any change. Therefore, nityaha, asangaha. Is consciousness afflicted, tainted, touched by these thoughts? No. Thoughts come, thoughts go. Thoughts being there is known, thoughts being not there is known. Which means asangaha. And this in which thought is not in consciousness? In every cognition, every thought, consciousness is pervading. Eva sarvagataha. Like this, you take few words of Shastram and analyze the meaning of this word Shastram, meaning of those words. Then you understand the nature of consciousness being the meaning of these words. That is why Swamiji, eternity, fraternity, immortality, these are all meaningless words. Unless you understand Patibodha Vidhita Matam, these words make no sense. Because each word reveals the nature of consciousness. How can you... Consciousness itself is something to be understood in terms of its nature. Isn't it? And the reality has to be understood in terms of its nature. This one sentence Pooja Swamiji has dinned into the head. Reality has to be recognized in terms of its swarupam because of its subtlest nature. The subtlest thing, isn't it? How it is, only then, in terms of swarupam, nature. Therefore, you understand Chaitanyam, the nature of this reality, the consciousness, being the meaning of these words, then the attention is only in consciousness. Shabda anuvidda savikalpa samadhi. Isn't it? Then nirvikalpa samadhi. Even here, then you see, I am this consciousness. The I is nothing but consciousness. Not only I. Now every vritti is consciousness. Isn't it? So I am consciousness, everything else is consciousness also. But for you to recognize everything else being consciousness will be known naturally later on. But the actual samsara nivrittihi, your moksha is in resolving the in consciousness. The cognitive resolution of ahankara in Chaitanyam Brahma. That is how the bondage, the notion that I am bound, I am limited, can be resolved. That is where moksha is, isn't it? Therefore, and then what that, when you understand that there's no substance other than consciousness for I, see, isn't it? When it's unmanifest, I, in deep sleep state, is there or not? Is there. But why is it not known? not manifest. But to know, be known as a manifest. When it manifests, it is there. It is not manifest, it is as though not there. It's there still. Isn't it? So when, therefore that I is nothing but the consciousness. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi, and then I is consciousness, the wave is water. That, when repeatedly you having that understanding, then focus attention on that, that fact you've understood, then for length of time, there's for a short time you dwell upon, and without your jnanam, knowledge, without your effort, whatever is, you know, dwelt upon, whatever is contemplated upon, or whatever is thought continuously for length of time, will be taken over by subconscious. Then it will go to subconscious, and without your knowledge, the same vritti will continue to be going on and on and on. The continuation of the vritti which you entertained consciously will be going on subconscious without your knowledge, which is called sukshma vritti anavrittihi. Okay? And there will be a time that thought will come up again as aham brahmasmi, clear, doubt-free knowledge. Okay? In when it goes on in your subconscious, it is the Nididhyas, because there is no knower known division also. It is contemplation. It is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Vikalpa means with the division. Meditation wherein division is involved. Savikalpa. Nirvikalpa means there is no division. But here I am talking about that Yoga Samadhi. I am talking about the meditation. Samadhi is a meditation. Samadhi means meditation, attention being focused. Is what we saw in Dhritarishayiveka class. Understand? For that, this is the basis. I wanted to tell you this. I didn't elaborate on it. I just want to quickly say that. You got it? Therefore, now, it is this jnanam, it is this clear knowledge. Only when reality, the existence of the universe is recognized as consciousness in one's own mind. Only when its consciousness is recognized as the truth of the I, aham, isn't it? Brahman has been recognized as the surupam of aham. Only then amrutattvam vindate. If Brahman is recognized as anything other than aham, anything other than aham is what? Aham is atma, isn't it? Anything other than I is non-I, anatma. So Brahman known as anatma. If Brahman is known as anatma, then there is no moksha. There's no moksha. Suppose if the question comes, if Brahman is, you know, why can't I know, attain Brahman? If Brahman is known as anything else, then can't I reach Brahman, attain Brahman? Even if you reach Brahman also, reaching is what? Aptihi, attainment. You know, attainment or reaching is also what? No, karma phalam. Karma phalam is time bound. And that moksha will be what now? Only time bound only. Even if we get it. Therefore, it is also made very clear that Brahman, the existence of the universe, the truth of the universe, has to be recognized. Of course, recognizable only in the mind. But when that Brahman is recognized as the Swarupam of I. Swarupam of I means what? The truth of I. Isn't it? That which is manifest as I. Alone, one cat at immortality attains immortality. Tasmat mukshu amrutattvam vindate. Amrutattvam means what? Immortality. Mrita means dead. Amrita means non-dead. Is it? So mritaha is a mortal. Mrita is a participle, dead. Mritaha, immortal, a person, adjective. Amritaha means immortal. But amrita, take it amrita. Then tvam, if we add, amrita tvam means immortality. Enjoying the status of being immortal. Isn't it? So amrutattvam is equal to mokshaha, freedom from limitations. So one attains amrutattvam only by knowing Brahman as the aham, not as anything else. Is it clear now? Therefore, atmajnane neva mokshaha. That is why people come and tell me, I had Vishnu, Brahman, Ishvara in that my dream and things. Nothing doing. Therefore, it has to be recognized in the mind and as the swarupam of I, where you had to choicelessly resolve aham. What choice do you have when you see the water? Now, as the truth of the wave, do you have any choice over retaining the wave form and name, not allowing it to resolve it in water? What choice do you have? In the same way, you don't need to make any effort. You understand Chaitanyam in the mind, finished. Aham asmi iti jnanam, isn't it? That is there only when the vritti is there. The vritti is not there, aham is there without the jnanam. That aham is nothing but consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, you arrive at it. Therefore, Brahma jnanam, for which if the Atma Jnanam, for which the substance is Brahman, then only Mokshaha, Amrutattvam Vindate. Again, Amrutattvam Vindate means, not that one really attains immortality. To be frank, Brahman is already immortal. Is it recognizing the Swarupam of Atma, being already immortal reality, the consciousness, which is free from time limitation, which is of the nature of timelessness, is attainment of immortality. Do we really become immortal? This is the meaning, isn't it? I does not need to attain immortality. Why? I is already immortal. In recognizing the fact of I being Brahma, isn't it? Thereby taking only ownership of that Brahman Swarup, being Swarup of Atma, you are as though immortality is attained. The attainment of immortality. Okay. That's what we have to see here. Quickly see, read it. Amrutattvam. That is the word you find in the text. Shankara gives his bhashyam. Amarana bhavam.
Amarana bhavam.
Amarana bhavam means what? The state of being immortal. Swatmani avasthanam.
Swatmani avasthanam.
Moksham.
Moksham.
He. So, amrutattvam means the status of being immortal. Amarana bhavam. Amarana bhavam means what? Amrutattvam, amarana bhavam, both words means what? mean what mokshaha? Is it? What is mokshaha now? Swatmani avasthanam. Is a definition of moksha. Shankara gives, amrutatvam is equal to mokshaha. Mokshaha is equal to swatmani avasthanam. Avasthanam is what? Abiding in one's own swarupam, being Brahman. Swatmani avasthanam, abiding in one's own self. What is the self of the wave? And? Okay. So where should the wave abide? Understand? Therefore, swatmani avasthanam means here resolving the I sense in consciousness, isn't it? There is what? Abiding in one's own nature, one's own swarupam, abiding in one's own self. It's called swatmani avasthanam, which is mokshaha. And what is that self? Brahma. What is Brahma? The limitless reality, existence of the universe. What is the existence of the universe? Pure consciousness. It is the pure consciousness which is manifest as I in the mind, which is manifest, as the knowledge in every cognition, and which is manifest as the existence of the universe outside, isn't it? Swa atmani avasthanam mokshaha. That yasmat vindate. Vindate means what? Vindate is a vind dhatu, atmane padi dhatu. And atmane padam is what? Vindate. Vindate means attains. Labhate. See, the word vindate has two meanings. One meaning is protects. One meaning means attains. In Govindaha, take the meaning of the word Govindaha, you have two meanings. Radhaji must be tired of listening to the meaning of this word Govinda because he heard Bhajagovindam 3-4 times for me. Not 2 times for me. So Go means knowledge. Go also means cow. Vindate means attains. Vindate means protects. So Govindaha means protector of cows. So Krishna as a cowherd boy is called Govindaha. At the same time, the Lord is to be, the Lord is, reality is not the Lord, but the Lord of the whole is reality. So how should the Lord of the whole, the reality should be attained? Only in terms of knowledge. So the Lord, the reality, Lord of the universe, the reality, who is to be attained through knowledge, who attained in terms of knowledge is called Govindaha, which means there's no way of attaining the Lord other than knowing. That is the meaning implied by the word Govindaha. Swamiji loves his name Govinda. He just takes one word and he'll be singing. Anyway, so Govinda, I have gone out of the topic, sorry. So, Vindate means what? Labhate. Vindate means Labhate. Now he says, Yatha uktat pratibodhat pratibodha vidita atmakat tasmat pratibodha viditameva matam iti abhiprayah. Therefore, as said above, yathokta means yathavuktam. As said earlier, as said before, pratibodhat. Pratibodhat means what now? Through every cognition. Pratibodha vidita atmakat. in every variable cognition, what is invariably present along with the variable thoughts is Brahma Chaitanyam. Okay, this is the only way. See, this is the way to recognize the reality of the universe. There is no way of arriving at the reality. This is the method of knowing the reality. And once you know the reality as consciousness, obtaining invariably present consciousness and all the variable thoughts of each piece of cognition, now what happens is you effortlessly resolve I sense in that consciousness. Then Brahma for you is the meaning substance of the substantive I. In recognizing the limitless reality of Brahman, the existence of the universe as consciousness, isn't it? As a Swarupam, the consciousness, then that's what consciousness as the truth of I, Swarupam of I, is the only way for moksha. Which means Brahman has to be recognized only as Aham. Only then there is moksha. Not as an Anatma, not as anything other than me. Okay, this word here. Now, bodhasya hi pratyagatma atmavishayancha matam amrutatve hetuhu. He says, amrutatve hetuhu bhavati. In attainment of moksha, hetuhu, is Brahma Jnanam becomes the means for the attainment of moksha. Only if the Brahman is recognized as Aham. I. Is it now clear? If Brahman is understood or recognized as anything other than Aham, then it will not be means for moksha. Amrutatve hetuhu bhavati no bodha. Bodhasya, bodha means the real knowledge, self knowledge. Pratyagatma atma vishayancha. Okay, when you say I know Brahman, means the knowledge of Brahman, what should be the object of knowledge? Aham, atma vishayam. Understand, only if the self becomes the subject matter of that knowledge, the knowledge for the Brahma Jnanam, for which the subject matter is the self. Is it clear now? Only then the Brahma Jnanam becomes a hetu for Amrutattvam.
Say that again, just one more time.
See, the knowledge of Brahman, is attained as the knowledge of the self, only then it is means for moksha. If you say, I have attained Brahma Jnanam, but it's not, Brahman is not Atma. If you know Brahman is anything other than Atma, then what is the subject matter of the Brahma Jnanam? Not the Atma. Then such a Jnanam will not be Hetu for moksha. See, Brahma, knowledge of Brahman must be the knowledge of the self. Recognition of Brahman must be as the recognition of one's own Swarupa. Okay? Brahma Swarupa. Brahman must be recognized. What is Brahman? Reality, limitless reality. What is limitless reality? Existence of the universe. What is the existence of the universe? Consciousness. That consciousness should be recognized as the Swarupam of Aham. only then it is amrutatve hetuhu. If somebody comes and tells, no, I know Brahman, but not as myself, not as Swarupma of I, then that is what now? Anatma jnanam, isn't it? Brahma jnanam attained as the knowledge of anything other than aham will be anatma. Isn't it anatma jnanam? Anything other than aham is what? Aham atma. Anything other than ahatma, aham is what? Anatma. So Brahman recognizes anything other than aham is what? Anatma only. So anatma jnanam will not free you from bondage. Is it clear now? Because somewhere people may go wrong. We are very clear, Shankara knows. But there may be some confused people. For their sake, he is repeating this. Okay, Rajniji, let me stop and you seem to be very uncomfortable with the question. No, have you answered?
No, no, you haven't.
Okay. I'll wait. You'll wait? Okay, I'll have a whole of a lot of time I have for you. My time is for you, Rajniji. Nahi. See, you are only busy, Rajniji. I'm always here for you to answer your questions.
Good.
You're very busy. You're available for me anymore, okay? Nahi. Nahi. Atmanaha. Anatmatvam. See, I am not repeating Rajaji, Shankar Bhagavatpada is repeating Nahi. Atmanaha. Anatmatvam. Amrutatvam bhavati. See, Atmanaha Anatmatvam Amrutatvam na bhavati. Understand, when you understand Brahma reality, you know, as anything other than you, that becomes what? Brahman becomes Anatma. Is it? Suppose Brahman is Anatma for you, then who wants freedom now? Isn't it? Your moksha is knowing, recognizing, your resolving, your smallness. And so you resolve for me, you have to know that you are Paramatma. You are Brahma, isn't it? Therefore, Atmanaha Amrutatvam na bhavati. No? Anatmatvam. If you know the Atma is Anatma, you know Brahman is Anatma, isn't it? There moksha doesn't happen. It is like saying, you know, suppose like saying, suppose Rajaji won a lottery and 10 million pounds. And his money has gone to his account. You know, I just go and tell Nina, Nina, Lord Rajaji won a lottery. Krishnamurti, Rajaji won a lottery means. The money is in his account, isn't it? Suppose another Samadhar Rajaji. We don't even know Samadhar, I'm sorry. And then I shout everywhere, Rodney, I saw the name Rodney won a lottery, 10 million pounds. I shout. But Peterji said, come on, it's not our Rodney, some other Rodney. So what is the use that Rodney wins? And but when this Rodney comes, that Rodney who won 10 million pounds in the lottery, myself, I am that Rodney, when he says, then it is winning, isn't it? You got what I'm saying? Somebody else have amrutattam, so what? Brahman is amrutam, Brahman is immortal, so what? By knowing Brahman being immortal, Hare Shastram, Brahman is immortal. Adi Mandamillane Parapone, because we sing in praise of the glory of the Lord and then Paramatma and Brahma. So what? Isn't it? Somebody else is rich means what am I going to get? That rich person, I am when I say, I am that rich person. Isn't it? Then that riches becomes mine. It is very interesting, isn't it? Therefore, It must be what now? That rich person. Somebody else is rich by knowing somebody else is rich. I cannot own the riches. I cannot take possession or ownership of that riches. That rich person who has won that lottery is myself. When I know I can take ownership of that riches. Is it clear now? It is important thing. So Brahman is immortal, Brahman is eternal, Brahman is timeless, Brahman is beginningless, endless, uncaused, causeless, reality, changeless, independent, one, all-pervasive, eternal. All these things, it's all blabbering. Only when you say, I myself am that Brahman, Amritatvam. Is it clear now? Which means you have to drag the I forcefully from the body, mind, senses, everywhere. Throw away the body mind complex. How? Not physically. Cognitively. I cannot be placed anywhere here. I is not part of the body, not product of the body, not property of the body. It pervades the body, it enlivens the body, energizes the body, makes the body sentient and, you know, but it doesn't, I doesn't, is not bound, limited by the boundaries, peripheries. It goes beyond the body, isn't it? And that I is what? Am Brahma. Is it clear? This is the important thing. Therefore, what he says in this line, Atmanaha anatmatvam na amritatvam bhavati. If anatma is taken as atma, if anatma, see, if Brahman is anatma, and we say, I know Brahman as anatma means, then is it clear now? The Amritattam is Brahman's nature. Anatma is Amritam, immortal. So what? It doesn't help me. Anatma is... Brahman is Anatma. If you know Brahman is Anatma, then Brahman is immortal. So Anatma is immortal. Anatma is immortal means, what is there for me? That's why, this is the best thing is what? By knowing somebody else is rich, what is the use? That rich person I am, I should be. I should know. Then I can take, isn't it? Therefore, that's what he says here. Amritattvam bhavati atmatvat atmanaha amritattvam nirnimittam eva. Interesting line. Atmatvat. Atmatvat means just by being Atma. Atmanaha Amritattvam. See, Amritattvam means immortality or limitlessness or fullness or mokshaha or freedom from limitations. Is it limitlessness? Is the Amritattvam, mokshaha, immortality, is the very swarupam of the Atma. Atmanaha Amritattvam, the immortality of the self, the consciousness, which is Brahma, is what? Nirnimittam. Nirnimittam means is not dependent on any given condition. See, for the water to be H2O, or the weight to be H2O, what condition does it require? See, for the wave being water, is there any condition? Wave is water by just being wave. And water is H2O, just being water. Jalatvat jalam. Jalasya surupam H2O. Jalatvat jalasya surupam H2O means what? Being water itself is what? itself is being H2O, isn't it? It's a nature, swarupa, intrinsic. It, which means there is no condition, nirnimitta means without any condition being, now it's nirnimitta means unconditional. See, the immortality being the nature, swarupam of Atma is unconditional. Nirnimittam. See, unconditional means what now? It's a nature, swarupam. Suppose conditional means what? If samrutattvam is something which is there as the rupa of the Atma, based because of certain conditions means what? As long as the condition is there, it will be there. When a condition goes, it will only go. That is time bound, isn't it? Therefore, it's like, and if, for the water to be hot, you know, to have the heat, it requires certain condition. Once you remove the water from the fire on the top, no, and put the first outside for some time, the heat will go, isn't it? Which means, so certain, it's not, here immortality is unconditional nature of the reality, Atma. Is it clear now? Why it's unconditional? Atma being Atma, Atma being what it is, the Amrutattvam is its nirnimitta swarupam, is unconditional nature. Which means, Atma need not attain Amrutattvam. Atma is already Amrutaha. That is why Atma is Brahma. Is it? I is nothing but Brahma. Like how wave is water. I is nothing but Brahma. Therefore already Atma is what? Immortal. Atma being what it is, very nature is immortal. Therefore it is unconditional. It does not depend on any other condition or anything. Therefore, recognizing the I being Aham, Brahma Asmi itself is what? Attainment of Amrutattvam. Recognition of the Swarupam of I being Brahman is the attainment of Amrutattvam. Knowledge is Mokshaha. Knowledge and moksha are identical. Because not that first you attain jnanam, then moksha walks towards you. Isn't it? That's what is said here. And here, suppose Rodney G. mind's question might come. What question comes? If moksha is, Amrutattvam is unconditional nature of the Atma, which means unconditional means what? Always moksha is there. Moksha is, doesn't come and doesn't go also, doesn't change also. If it's already there, Amrutattvam, isn't it? It need not be attained. If it need not be attained, then why should we take it as goal? Then moksha should have been taken as sadhyaha, to be accomplished end. If moksha cannot be taken, amrutattvam cannot be taken as an, to be accomplished end, why it can't taken to be, why can't it be taken as an end? Because it is already there. As what? Nirnimitta swarupa, unconditional nature. If it cannot be taken as the end, then why should we study Vedanta at all? What is the purpose of studying Vedanta? So Vedanta study as a pramanam for jnanam is meaningless. Why? Because you need not attend moksha. Why? Moksha is already there. Isn't it?
Well, my question was nice one.
understand, in this context, then Shankara thinks, okay, I'm not thinking, okay. Then the answer comes, no. To be frank, mokshaha is already siddhaha, already accomplished. But still, it is as though to be accomplished. Why? Because even though moksha is already accomplished, no, it is taken to be accomplished. Now, even though it's already siddham, it is taken to be sadhyam, to be accomplished, because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. So it's called what now? Siddhe sadhyatva adhyasaha. Siddhe sadhyatva adhyasaha means superimposition of sadhyatvam, the status of being, the to be being, to be accomplished. When you see Radhija, the goes. This, you know, to be accomplished in the already accomplished. Siddhe sadhyatva adhyasaha. In fact, this is not really. So mokshaha, is it siddham or sadhyam? Siddhaha, already accomplished. But why is it sadhya then? It is not real sadhyaha, is it? It is seeming sadhyaha. Therefore, kano sadhya abhasaha. Sadhya abhasaha means what? Seeming sadhyam.
Abhyasaha?
Abhyasaha. See, siddhe sadhyatva adhyasaha, I said. First I said. Now I say sadhyatva abhasaha. Sadhya abhasaha. Sadhyaha means to be accomplished. Sadhya abhasaha means seemingly sadhyam. A seeming sadhyam. Why seeming? Because of ignorance. So he says, when you are ignorant, isn't it? Even though it is already siddham, still it is what now? Sadhya abhasaha. It becomes temporarily it becomes what now? Sadhyam. What is the example? This is Swamiji's example. Your specs is siddhaha, no, upanetram purameva siddham or what? Purameva siddham. But I go and search all over the jagat. When keeping my specs on my forehead, I search for my specs all over. It is not to be found thing. It is already found, but still it is becomes what now? To be found temporarily, as though to be found. Why? Because of my forgetfulness of keeping it on my head. Is it? Purvameva siddhe upanetre sadhyatva adhyasaha. And it's all my problem. My family says it's all my problem. Nobody helps me to find. What can I do? When I put my hand like this, I found it. When I find it, I am not really getting it newly. It is already there on my own forehead. There it becomes what now? Again, sadhyam becomes siddhaha. To be accomplished become what now? Already accomplished. Is it clear now? Therefore, because of ignorance alone, to be accomplished, even though already accomplished moksha, is seemingly as though to be accomplished. Is as though to be accomplished. Isn't it? So when you recognize the Atma being Brahman in Jnanam, when you take the ownership of your Surupam being Moksha, it is what now? Again, no, Siddhaha, the Mokshaha, no, all Siddhaha Mokshaha, no, the Sadhya Moksha becomes what now? Again, Siddhaha, already accomplished. Is it clear or not? Okay.
Raises questions, definitely. Definitely raises questions. Anyway, but yeah. Understood what you're saying.
Evam martyatvam atmanah yad avidyaya anatmatva pratipattihi. Therefore, then why there is martyatvam atmanah? Means atma is never a mortal. I is never a mortal. Atmanaha martyatvam. No, the temporarily superimposed, the immortality is superimposed upon the I, the Atma, which because of what? Avidyaya. Because of ignorance, anatmatva pratipattihi. Anatma abhimanam. See, because of ignorance, there is wrong identity of the self, is it? Wrong identity, that is, anatma is mistaken for the atma. Anatmatva pratipattihi means having wrong identity with the anatma due to the ignorance of atma, isn't it? The mortality superimposed upon the Atma. To be frank, Atma is never a mortal. Atma is ever immortal. Therefore, it is meaningful what now? It does not take us away from Vedanta Shastra and should study properly and understand. Okay. Next. Katham punaha. Yathoktaya atmavidyaya amrtattvam vindate iti. Okay, now next question comes. Okay, attainment of immortality means freeing oneself from the fear of death. Isn't it? Freeing oneself from fear of death means freeing oneself from fear of death means what? Conquering the death. Conquering death means what? Conquering death means conquering the time factor. Kalaha, yama. Is it? Conquering death. Which is, because in, that's why kalaha, time is always personified as a very frightening personality. You know that? And he comes like on a huge yama. Time is personified in Puranas. Is a huge person with the teeth and with his battalions of people, yama dutas, and he comes on a buffalo, black buffalo with the thing. Why? Very frightening personality, yama. Time. Why? My God, death. Lord death. We are scared of Lord death. Everybody is scared of Lord death. Who is Lord death? Time factor personified is Lord death. Which means here amrtatvam vindate means one really, the whole spiritual pursuit is taken to be a battle. And in this battle of spiritual pursuit, this person, spiritual seeker, really defeats this Lord Yama. Isn't it? And time factor is one thing. Everything in this universe is subject to time limitation. Therefore, Swamiji puts it, kalaha jagat bhakshakaha, the time factor. Isn't it? The Lord Yama, death is the devourer of the whole jagat. Kalaha jagat bhakshakaha. Nobody can escape the time factor. Isn't it? But this I escapes. Understand? Everybody is what now? Subject to time limitation, which means this I alone escapes from time, which means not only I escapes, I fights against this Yama and conquers this Yama as though conquering Yama, isn't it? Which means the most powerful time factor, time, Yama, Kalaha. To defeat that Yama, one must have tremendous amount of strength. But the question comes, katham punaha yathoktaya atma vidyaya amrtatvam vindate. How is it possible for one to defeat this Lord Yama, to conquer the Lord Yama, time factor, the very powerful Lord Yama? He needs something else. It is not enough. Atma vidya is not enough. Self knowledge, just by knowing the self, such a simple thing. Look at this, such a simple thing is what? Self knowledge, atma vidya is such a simple thing. By attaining the knowledge of the self, a simple thing, you can defeat Lord Yama. You can overcome death. It's very frightening, isn't it? Very, how come? It is like, you know, it's like a small ant going against, you know, going to kill the large, big elephant. Is it possible? No, in terms, because the self-knowledge, some people think it's such a small thing, ordinary thing. And the conquering the death, conquering Lord, time factor, is something unimaginable. How is it possible? Because there are people, you know, prasankhyanavadis. There is this people of group of philosophers called prasankhyanavadinaha. And Shri Shankara does not mention, but there is a text called Naishkarmya Siddhihi, a Vedantic text, a prose text. I wish I can do it sometime. I don't know when. So that Naishkarmya Siddhihi, in that Naishkarmya Siddhihi, prasankhyanavadis, and their argument is this. Because that particular text presents them very well. Here, I won't tell you. Why? Because their argument is, the self-knowledge is too simple. Very, very simple. The simple self-knowledge is not enough to conquer the most powerful time factor, Kala. To defeat, conquer. Which means the self-knowledge has to be followed by many, 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 many hours of meditation for number of years. Then one will have special strength, and with that strength alone, one can conquer Lord Yama. One can attain immortality. Which means they want to do something even after jnanam. Why? Because it is something very deep. People who, it is like they still, there's no self experience. They want to experience self on one fine day. Because the concept of self, something different, some problem. Okay? Therefore, it is said what now in this context? It is not said here. He is asking, Atma vidyaya amrtatvam vindate iti. Katham atma vidyaya amrtatvam vindate? How is it said that immortality is attained by simple self-knowledge? Then the answer comes. Come on. Aha. Atmana.
Atmana.
Svena rupena. Vindate. Labhate. Vindate is equal to labhate. Both are atmane padams. Svena rupena. Atmana svena rupena labhate. Viryam. Balam. Samarthyam. Very good. Look at this. Atmana vindate viryam. Now we are seeing the third quarter of the mantra. We are seeing the meaning. Atmana vindate viryam means. Viryam means the strength. No, the strength that one requires, tremendous amount of strength in order to conquer Lord Yama, to attain immortality. That strength, where does one get it from? Where does one really, what is the source of that strength? Isn't it? The question comes. So, viryam, vindate, kutaha vindate, where does one get that strength from? Itself knowledge is not enough. One may ask, but Upanishad says, Upanishad gives an answer for Prasankhyanavadis. Atmana vindate viryam. All the strength one requires to conquer death, isn't it? To attain immortality, to conquer the Lord Yama, is not from anywhere else. One's own strength. One's own strength means what? The strength is Atma. There is no strength at all other than Atma. Atma is the very strength of everything that is here. Therefore, the strength of Atma itself is the source for conquering the Lord Yama. And to be frank, the Atma really speaking need not win, need not conquer the time factor. Why? Because only the time factor came near the Atma and come on, Atma, come to the battle, fight with me. If the time factor came near the Atma, touched the Atma and asked the Atma not to come to the battle, then there is a need for the Atma to go and wage a war, fight a battle and then conquer it, isn't it? Time factor can never stand in front of the Atma. What does it mean? Time factor can never touch the Atma, taint the Atma. Why? Because time comes and resolves in the Atma. Time itself is dependent on consciousness, Brahman, the Atma, for its very existence. The time factor, kalaha, the time which is dependent on consciousness for its very existence, to be known, thereby to be lent existence, how can this time factor, isn't it, be the defeater of the Atma, go near the Atma, isn't it? Time can never, see, any object which comes to light, which borrows existence from the consciousness, can never touch or taint the consciousness, isn't it? So time is an abstract relative factor which also has its existence in consciousness, which can never touch the consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, consciousness is already of the nature of timelessness. I didn't include all this stuff in your notes, okay? But now when it comes to me, so I'm just talking. But it's okay. What are you giving? So enough, isn't it? So this comes to me now. So Swamiji, suddenly it came. So the consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. It is free from time limitation. But time is an object of knowledge of consciousness, which is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. And to even to come to light. Isn't it? Therefore, time factor can never touch, taint the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, there is no need for the consciousness to conquer the time at all. Understand? And why? Because the Atma, Swarupam being timelessness, is the very strength of the Atma. Therefore, knowledge of the self, Katma, being already timeless reality, itself is the strength. Is it clear now? Therefore, Atmana Vindate Viryam. Attainment of immortality does not depend upon anything else other than knowledge. In fact, immortality is not attained, already we have seen. Taking ownership of what is already there. Is it clear now? Now the next question comes. Okay. Now, again, simply, it's all simple lessons, okay? He says, no, Shankara says, suppose, other than the Atma, if you think you can draw strength, okay, you with the strength of anything other than the Atma, if you draw strength from anything other than the Atma, to defeat, to become free from mortality, isn't it? Then that effort will be vain effort. Nothing else other than the self can, self-knowledge can really conquer Atma, conquer the time. Is it clear? Which means, what he wants to say here is, everything other than Atma is time-bound. Using anything time-bound to, isn't it, to attain immortality is a vain effort. That's what he wants to say. So, he, Shankara, says here, dhana sahaya. Okay, dhana sahaya. Suppose with the strength of my money power, mantra, the strength I gained by chanting and reciting the mantras, and the oshadi, no, with the strength of having lots of, all sorts of herbs, go and eat all, people who, crazy people sitting there, you know, that eat this leaf and eat that leaf and don't just pick up and then you can live forever. Then with the strength of the varieties of very, very rare herbs, tapaha, and then by severely practicing tapas, austerities, no, the strength of austerity, practice of austerity, if one wants to, no, attain moksha, then yoga kritam, yoga means what, no, all forms of sadhanas, including meditation. If a person is trying, making effort to draw strength by practice, special strength, by practicing meditation, by practicing different other sadhanas, by practicing tapas, austerity, by having some, eating some very special rare herbs, or by reciting some special mantras, by doing something or the other, if a person is making effort to, is it, conquer immortality, conquer mortality, to become attain immortal, then that effort will be vain effort. Why? Time is very powerful, which means everything, the very nature of everything in this universe is time, subject to time. Therefore, if at all there is something which is timeless, it is consciousness, Atma. Everything other than Atma is time-bound. The simple thing is, time-bound thing cannot give you timeless moksha. And the timeless reality can give you timeless moksha, which is Atma-swarupam, which you need not attain, which you have to take ownership, for which you need to know the Atma. Is it clear? Therefore, mrityum na shaknoti abhibhavitum. So the strength drawn from all these varieties of anatma things is not capable of defeating or conquering the mrityuhu, the Lord. Abhibhavitu means to defeat, to conquer. Anitya vastu kritatvat. Because everything else is time-bound in nature. All these so-called things, dhanasahaya, mantra, oshadi, tapa, yoga, kritam viryam. The strength drawn from all these so-called things happen to be time-bound things, that strength will not be capable of conquering or defeating Lord, the time factor, Lord Yama. Therefore, Atma Vidya. Now next, okay, finished. Now where do you draw strength from? Strength for attaining immortality? The strength you need to attain immortality, you draw from your own Swarupam. That is your very nature. In fact, really speaking, you need not conquer death. Why? Because death doesn't even come near you. Where is the question of need for you to conquer the death? Okay. Now next question comes. Okay, you said nothing can be of any use, the strength drawn from anything else other than the Atma will not be useful to defeat the death, isn't it? To conquer death. That is fine. But what about self-knowledge? Atma Vidya, Atma Jnanam. Do you think Atma Vidya can conquer death? Now the question comes. If you ask, can Atma Vidya conquer death? Is Atma Vidya Atma or Anatma? Atma Vidya. Is Atma Vidya Atma or Anatma?
Anatma.
Say all of you.
Knowledge of or...
Tell me.
Knowledge and moksha are different, so you can't say it's...
Atma Vidya is Anatma. Knowledge of the self is Anatma. Self alone is Atma. Knowledge of the self is what? Vritti Jnanam, isn't it? Knowledge of the self is not there, is it? Knowledge, even the self-knowledge, the strength, you cannot draw the strength even from the self-knowledge. You draw the strength from the very self. So self-knowledge helps you derive the strength from the self. Understand, Ardhiji? Strength has to be derived, drawn only from the self, not from the self-knowledge. But what is self-knowledge for then? Self-knowledge helps one to derive the strength from the self. Pooja Swamiji gives this example, it is like an injection. The injection does not remove the disease, isn't it? It's only a mode of transferring the medicine. It is the medicine has the strength to remove the disease. But the injection is only mode of transferring, isn't it? Like that. Self-knowledge is dwaram. Dwara karanam. Means what now? It becomes the means for you to derive the strength from the self. Strength is derived from the very self. And to derive the strength from the self, self-knowledge becomes the means. Therefore, Atma Vidya Kritam Tu Viryam Atmana Yeva Vindate. Atma Vidya Kritam Viryam means what? Even this knowledge, the strength you draw, you derive from self-knowledge is in fact strength of the self only. Self-knowledge is the strength. What does it mean? Self-knowledge is the strength means strength of the self becomes the strength of self-knowledge. They are not two different things. Nanyena ityataha na anyena. So, the strength drawn from the self-knowledge is nothing but the strength of the self alone. Na anyena iti ataha ananya sadhanatvat. Atma vidya viryasya tadeva viryam mrityum shaknoti abhibhavitam. There is no other means for moksha other than knowing the self. Why? Self-knowledge is the only means which will help you draw the strength from the self. Is it clear now? There is no other means. Which means you need not do anything else. Self-knowledge is the only means through which you can draw the strength from the self. And with which alone you can defeat, conquer death, the time which you can attain immortality. Is it clear? Yataha evam atma vidyakritam viryam atmana eva vindate ataha vidyaya atma vishayaya vindate amritam. Therefore, now he says, yataha, because evam atma vidyakritam viryam atmana eva vindate. Therefore, what does it mean? The spiritual strength. See, one gains the strength to attain immortality or to defeat to conquer the Lord Yama, the time. The strength one gains from the self, is it? Through self-knowledge. So, anya sadhanena, there is no other sadhanam, no dhyanam, singing bhajans, no, meditation, no, pranayama, no, doing some special tapas, asati, no, anya sadhanam. Kim sadhanam? Ekameva sadhanam jnanam, atma vidya. Through the knowledge does not give you strength. Knowledge helps you derive strength from the self. Okay? Atmana vindate viryam. Therefore, attainment of moksha vidyaya vindate amritam. Last bit. Vidya vindate amrita means, therefore amritatvam, attainment of immortality in terms of conquering or freeing oneself from time limitation, isn't it? Or recognizing and becoming immortal or attainment of immortality or conquering death is only through what now? Only by taking ownership of the Swarupma of the Atma being already timelessness. And for which all that you need is Jnanam alone. Vidyaya Vindate Amritam. Only through the knowledge of the self, you can derive strength from the self, understand, to conquer death, to attain immortality. Or you can simply say, only simple, Swamiji's expression is very beautiful. Vidyaya Vindate Amritam. In fact, Amritam means Amritatvam. Amritatvam, Amritam means the self, means the same. Immortality is already your Swarupam. It is not there as it is as though you are immortal. The immortality is already there. The mortality is just because of the notion that you think that you are mortal. The mortality is because of the notion you have about yourself. Immortality is already your Siddham Swarupam. Therefore, the removal of this notion that I am a mortal is the attainment of immortality. Is it? It's as though you attainment of immortality. You are not really attaining immortality. Therefore, for the removal of the wrong notion that you are mortal, all that you need is Vidya, Atma Vidya, Atma Jnanam. Is it clear? Vidyaya Vindate Amritam. Self-knowledge. And that self has to be understood as what? Self being Brahman has to be recognized through what? Pratibodha Viditam is the only way you can, is the only method. This is the way you can discover Brahma as your own self. And recognizing your own self is the only way to take ownership of what you already have, what you are already. Therefore, all that you need is self-knowledge, not any other sadhanam. Nothing needs to be done after jnanam. Jnanam is moksha. And for that jnanam, not many ways. Pratibodha viditam matam. Pratibodha viditam. Jnanam, how can you recognize Atma? Atma can recognize as the Chaitanyam, invariable Chaitanyam obtaining in every variable thoughts, in each bit of cognition. Na ayam atma balahinena labhyah iti atharvane. Atharvana Upanishad means the Upanishad belonging to Atharvana Veda is called Atharvana Upanishad, which is Mundaka Upanishad. At least you know already this one. Na ayamatma balahinena labhyah means here also the Upanishad mantra means the same thing. I am Atma, this self cannot be attained by a weak person means this Atma can be attained only by the person of strength. And what strength does it mean here? Atma balam. It is the strength. You see, one can attain the Atma. Attainment of Atma means what? Attainment of the knowledge of the Atma. Attainment of knowledge of Atma is attainment of the moksha, which is possible only by strength of one's own self. Is it? Not by any other strength. Natu Atma Jnanam is not the balam, or anything else in the world cannot give you strength. It is the Atma which has to give you the strength to conquer the fear of death. And for which that strength, isn't it? You need self-knowledge. You can derive the strength, but you need to know, isn't it? The reservoir is full of water. The reservoir is full of water. But to tap it, you need the taps. So jnanam is required to tap the fullness which is already your swarupa. To derive it. To take ownership of it.
Ataha samarthaha hetuhu amrutattvam hi vindate iti. Ataha samarthaha hetuhu is what now? The most efficient most appropriate means, the only appropriate means of accomplishing moksha, immortality, is the self-knowledge. Yes, sir, did you ask the question?
When I hear the explanation, it seems that I understand it. I can detect no misunderstanding. And your very point about Atmanbala and how it is all conquering seems to prove that. But I don't understand, because there must be something missing. When I, even though I understand as I'm hearing it, there is nothing is different. Therefore there must be something missing. I don't know what. To say glibly Pratibandha if the knowledge is that powerful, it would cut through the Pratibandha as well.
Knowledge is not powerful. Knowledge is the means to derive the power from yourself. And for the knowledge, Swamiji, I'm very glad to hear from you. You're understanding as you're listening. That is the most important thing. That is possible, that is there also. That should happen, because the tapas is there. There's effort on my part, effort on your part. And the genuine effort is there. So it will work. I told you, what the problem is, the mind needs to be adequately dispassionate, to be adequately contemplative, to be to ward off the apratibandhas. I'm not saying anything wrong about it. What I'm saying.
But why with such immediacy of understanding, which I seem to have, why is it not instantaneous in its effect?
It is not a conditional thing, isn't it?
But
it's unconditional sorupam. The thing, whenever attention goes somewhere, see, it is not at ascertained, not at been ascertained. That understanding what you have, if it is ascertained once for good, then wherever you are, that will be there. Because it's not assimilated, ascertained. Understanding is very much there, but ascertainment is not there. Ascertainment is not there because adequate attention is not given to that. Which means, the pratibandhas will come and knock in between. I'm not saying, an understanding itself, pratibandha comes a very problem, isn't it? That way we're very fortunate. The pratibandhas do not come in understanding. Understanding, at least nothing goes, means you'll feel bored in the class, you'll get up and go away. But there is some understanding is happening, there's that much grace is there. But you know, for the assimilation of it, you see, we need to be more contemplative, more Shraddha. I heard Shingya Acharya was saying, Radhaji, more Shraddha. I wish I can show Shingya Acharya's talk, recent talks. Unfortunately, it's in Tamil, it's not in English. I wish I can make you listen to that. Shingiri Acharya, you know, they were all very strict people. They won't even see people and talk to people. Now only she comes and talks, because Pujo Swamiji's effort has spread all over Tamil Nadu. I don't know whether you heard in Tamil talks. In the talks now, he gives all Tamil talks, unfortunately. I can't make you really listen. He said, no, Shraddha is not enough. He said, he quoted some verse, beautiful verse. I wrote and kept also in the verse. He said, you know, people, we all talk so much about Vedanta. You know, Advaitam, we talk about Advaitam. And what do the people do? It's only for really livelihood for them. The teachers are lively, doing it for livelihood. They prattle like rabbits. They talk so well Advaitam. But it has not become Anaparokshanubhavam. Isn't it? Why? Because he says that not that easy. You need more Shraddha. You have to... Pursuit of study must be along with the intense fervent prayer. The problem is, because we pursue knowledge, and slowly somewhere our Shraddha in prayer and worship goes, because everything is this, because somewhere our intellect comes and plays some tricky role, then our Shraddha in prayer goes. We need to see, we should hold on to Bhagavan until the knowledge becomes ascertained. The holding on to Bhagavan itself, Radhaji, intense and fervent prayer for this jnanam, along with the pursuit of knowledge, along with the savanam mananam, Nidhyasam, the three will go to hand in hand after some time. You know, when it goes, then naturally it becomes what now? Then slowly you become, that is only way you can shift your dependence from Bhagavan to yourself. It is very important thing. What happens? We are dependent on the world. No, your spiritual journey itself is strategy, shifting our dependence from the Jagat to Bhagavan and from Bhagavan to yourself. There will be a point you even don't, even you have to leave Bhagavan as a crutch. And which is very frightening. It is knowledge. It is self. Your own, you are the strength for the whole Jagat, when it is said. You know, very frightening for many people. Bhaktas become very miserable also. Now what I want to say here is that one, you had to be, see, as why can't be instantaneous means? It is not a conditional thing for it to be instantaneous. It's already there, already there, already there. It has to become assimilated means. The more you dwell upon it, more you are with it, more you get it asserted. How much time are you sparing for? Only for this. How much time are you sparing for everything else? See the proportion of time. Even, okay, of the 24 hours a day, how many hours we sleep? Maybe 3, 4, not 2 hours, I know that. 21 hours you are awake. And our 21 hours, you know, because the MAC takes, the Arshvidya work takes 9 hours.
Arshvidya work, not the MAC.
Okay, Arshvidya work takes some time. Not some, okay, most of the time, maybe MAC takes some time. And then there's some time I'm saying, you know, the time for so many things what we are involved in. Of course, we had to eat, we had to drink, and we had to eat, cook, we had to go to the toilet, and we had to go outing, we had to shop. These are all part of our life. But Shastram is, the more you have the Shastram energy, when everything also, slowly contemplative, the more you dwell upon it, naturally you will become contemplative in every other time also. In every other situation also. So it's only Patibandha. We need more Shraddha. We need more Shraddha. And I'm not saying, he said, can you believe Sringeri Pithadipati, who is soaked in that Vedic tradition all the time, he says, 17 years, I don't want to go out of Sringeri Matam, be here, study and teach. Or if he opens his mouth, Radhaji, it will come like anything. I'm really allowed to listen to him. Because so much of scholarship. But it's not like Swamiji's. Pooja Swamiji's is fantastic, isn't it? He cannot, you must have already understood Swamiji so much, then you can listen to him understand. Because he's too, he's not very light when he talks. Nobody can understand, I understand that very well. when he goes, but he tries his best to speak, he doesn't speak good Tamil also. All Sanskritized Tamil he speaks. You know, I wish I can translate directly to you. He emphasized Shraddha so much, Radhaji, this time. Shraddha, he was emphasizing. I felt, my God, why? How true it is. I was thinking myself, how true it is in what he says. I could see the fact in what he was saying. That's why I really revered that. You know, because he happened to be around. Unfortunately, I couldn't spend time with him this time when he came. I was just here and I came away. When he wasn't coming to us, I was in Rishikesh. Then I was... It's a good thing. But he's not a Pooja Swamiji. Swamiji, I can go with him everywhere. But Shingacharya, they won't let us go like that. We had to keep very distant. We can't just be free. Pooja Swamiji means I just get onto him in the car and then to go to him and talk to him. I can go and go to, I want to, I can wait for him, I can talk to him questions, ask questions. But Shingacharya is not that easy, accessible. Tirtham finished, Namaskaram, come away. Because of Pitadipatyam. Now, so that is the answer for your question, Radhaji. Maybe we can do some samashti sankalpa and samashti prarthana, we can do. Plus, you can also make your own effort.
Same old problem.
That's okay, but sure. Now, because the problem is there, by getting frustrated, by getting becoming disappointed or getting frustrated, and come on, let me throw away the mala. You will not do japam anymore. Let me not do anything anymore. If it, you do it, either nobody is the loser. We will, our situation will become worse. Do you want to progress from bad to good or bad to worse?
I know it doesn't work. I've tried to run away the japa and I just get, it just gets worse. So I've got to do it anyway. Oh, terrible situation.
Yeah, sometimes, so that Radhaji, the pratibandha is so strong that even makes a buddhi to make it, decide to throw it, isn't it? That's a strong. It's okay, we get to pray more, that's all. Now also as a teacher, I need more tapas as well to make it more effective for you, all of you maybe. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Bhagavyo Namaha Hari Om.